Hello and welcome again to Istros Conversations. We are again in Red Lion Square, and today we have the special guest Alice Steger, a poet, editor, translator and author from Slovenia, from Ptuj in Slovenia. And talking to him today we have an old friend of Istros Books, Stephen Watts. And actually I'm just going to hand it straight over to Stephen to for the next 20 minutes or so to talk to Alice about his debut novel and the issues and stories behind it.
Alice, I'm tempted to remember when we first met in Finland and a game of football, but instead I'm going to ask you.
I have you in memory as a fairly good soccer player, contrary to me. So I'm bad in soccer, and I'm awful in watching football because I'm becoming so involved in the game. I'm much too emotional for to be a soccer enthusiast.
It will be difficult then if you have children playing football and you are standing on the sides.
Yeah, well, that's different though, because there you can help them gathering the balls.
That's a little bit like, is that a little bit like writing a novel when the novel is taking place on the football pitch and the author is wandering around trying to get on?
The novel takes over immediately. Yeah. So it's very, similar in a way. Mm-hmm. There is something happening in front of you. The problem is if you think that you're smarter than the novel, so you're playing a game, but you're not on the field.
Yeah.
It's always necessary to obey to the inner rules of a text, which are to be discovered always while writing. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is common both to poetry and prose.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit then about some of the inner roles within Absolution.
Well, Absolution is, in my eyes, a book about very important themes, not only for Slovenians, not only for Central Europeans, but in general. How do we deal with our past? What do we do with traumas from the past? Mm. How does society deal with it? Usually it's done in very unproductive ways, in ways where hiding, not speaking, manipulating the past, draw a line or create a space where repetition of history is possible again, and traumatizing experiences are being performed all over the time. So I was intrigued how in a border town,
post Maribor is.
Maribor lies at the border with Austria, and it used to be one of three most important industrial towns in Yugoslavia. Then the industry partly collapsed, and since then, the last 30 years, Maribor tries to find its new identity. Mm-hmm. Now, Maribor used to be the cultural capital of Europe, and this is just a vague frame for the novel. There is a couple, Andrei Bailey and Rosa Portero, and they're basically pretending to be journalists.
Yeah.
But in fact, they are discovering a hidden liaison of 13 members of a sect, let's say.
Let's go back to the title then, Absolution, because that can be interpreted in a number of ways. You've said how the novel is set in Maribor in the year 2012, in fact, when Maribor was a European city of culture. And in one way, it's the novel is a very interesting and exacting focus on the reality and unreality of what you were seeing and what you were perceiving then. But if we look at the title, Absolution, that can be interpreted in a fairly normal religious way of seeking or giving forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It can also be interpreted, especially going back to its Latin roots, in the sense of loosening from. And in the context of this book, the narrative of this book, if you want, of the loosening from is the absolving of the guilt by enabling the soul to leave the body, whatever the consequences are, whether that the consequence is the death of someone or the falling into psychosis of someone. Do you want to talk a bit more about those two directions?
The word itself in Slovenian has a third meaning, which is kicking out one of its job.
Right.
So, and this is also a meaning with which I play in the book itself. Absolution, especially forgiving different groups, political groups in Slovenia still use it in a big narrative, and not only in Slovenia, how to forgive the perpetrators of mass killings after the Second World War. So a very traumatizing event that splits societies up to till today. Now, I was trying to write about that rather heavy theme from an angle that would permit me still a big amount of playfulness, if this is the right word, connected to such traumatic events, where, let's say, self-irony, black humor, exaggeration are vehicles how to come closer to something that as such cannot be outspoken directly, cannot be addressed directly. The perpetrators usually aren't alive anymore, but still their acts influence our everyday lives. How to deal with it? Or rather say, what are the mechanisms that are behind? Many people who read this book in Slovenia, in Germany, in other countries, very often think that it's a book full of exaggerations. But if you would look closely, you would see that many of the things that seem to be fictitious in the book are very close to reality. There are perhaps a bit only for a small bit increased in its volume, let's say. That's all. The reality is being only partly distorted in order to enable the reader to see things clearly, to even have a quite bitter laugh at it, but also to confront oneself with a heavy load of questions.
You have a lot of question marks in the book as well.
The book itself is written in a way like a theater, like a drama. There are the two main characters perform interviews with a series of people. They hypnotize them. So these people really reveal their wildest thoughts to them, thoughts that you would never get in the play. And part of the novel plays itself really in the National Theatre of Maribor, which is in fact the biggest theater institution in our country, famous for its production with deceased now Tomáš Pandur, and an extremely important institution in the town. The Mariborians love theater. They love it so much, I say often as a joke, that they are permanently actors in a play they do not know. Even in their everyday lives, they are more performing than living without knowing that.
And I think I'm right in saying that in 2012 it was Tomáš Pandur's production of War and Peace that was one of the centre points of the European Year of Capital of Culture. And in your novel, you, apart from the novel actually in a way being a series of theatrical scenes, you can look at it in that way, but also in your novel, a production of War and Peace is very central to the novel, and also brings the novel towards its ending. And there's going back to what you were saying, because that sense between reality and non-reality, and that sense when some people read a book of magic realism or surrealism, they think it is exaggerated, whereas those finest works of either of those two genres, there is no exaggeration. It is almost a relating of what happened, or with slight exaggeration, as you said.
To me, each act of writing has to have a urgency, a necessity. Playfulness is not enough to write a good book. It has to have, while writing it, it's beautiful if you have the ease to write it. And in this case, I had this ease, but there was really a great urgency for me to write it. Reality doesn't exist. It has to be rediscovered. It has to be reimagined over again. But this imagination has its very strict rules. You cannot just take whatever comes. There is a very selective filter which knows exactly what material comes in and what not. And the reader knows exactly when something in the book is fake and not. So I believe absolutely in the reader, in the intelligent reader, and that no mystification or no, how should I say, purely performative act can succeed in literature.
Some of the readers, though, might feel, if they read the book very closely, that they are actually involved in the narration, in the flow of events, because it is a theatre piece, or is that a misreading on my part, do you think?
No, it's you read it very accurately, I think. It's also partly my wish to get them involved, get the reader involved as close as possible. I understand some readers don't like non-naturalistic or non-realistic fiction per se. And this is not the book for them. But those readers who read with a very open mind and heart and are willing to adventures, I think that could be an interesting book for them. I was very much intrigued always by books that somehow with great realism describe things that cannot happen as such, but when you finish reading them, you see that they, through a story that seemed to be fantastic, they gave you a very important information about a certain logic, of the world.
Mm-hmm.
These are like, these were always key events in my life as a reader. And when writing this book, I had also the feeling that I'm being taken somewhere by a certain, how should I say, mental pattern that has to be described with great precision and without exaggeration, although the book is, of course, can be read as fantastic.
I mean, I think that's one of its many real qualities, that it can be read as a fantastic piece, but it can also, if you read into it, be read as a fairly exact description of what might almost impossibly happen, but all too frequently does happen in our lives.
The impossibility is an edge that has to be approached in writing, I think. We are not superhumans, we cannot step beyond the border, but still, I think if you face this while writing, then writing makes, in a way, sense, because you touch the border of the mirror.
That reminds me of something that Danny Zeitz said about your poetry, which I think is maybe about close to your prose. I don't like quoting, but I will quote if there's time. He says that through your mouth, the poems tell the truth about themselves and our human squalor. They speak without reproaches, without moralizing. The poet moves in his poems on the sharp edge of the possible and the impossible, on the edge of peril. And you were just talking about that sharp edge of, you know, between impossible and possible. And also, I remembered what Danny Zeitz had said, because I loved the absence of moralizing in absolution, even though you are talking about such painful and appalling things.
Moral has always to deal in works of that kind also with politics.
Yeah.
It is always a tool of politics. And what I wanted to achieve is to write a book about traumatic events without taking sides.
Yeah.
And that means without serving to any of the common interpretations of our past. And that was perhaps the hardest thing to achieve here, from my perspective, to write it in a different code that is common in Slovene literature, because they have been partly wonderful books written touching similar issues and themes, but you could really put them in two categories. The first ones who try to show with the finger to the perpetrators, and the other which try to legitimize in a way the act of what the perpetrators did. It was really good or bad, white and black, and I wanted to be in a way different.
Purple, like the cover.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that for me, you succeeded in that astonishingly. You know, that was the real, that was what came through the book to me. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for your kindness, and thanks to Istros for being brave
publishing
books like that.
Well, I mean, we had a great launch at the Cork World Book Festival. We were here in London last night, and Alice, I wish you great luck in Canada on your short tour of Canada. And thank you very much, both of you, Alice and Stephen, for talking to us today.